Welcome to season 6 of the Retail Tea Break podcast. My name is Melissa Moore, the retail advisor and Rethink Retail's top retail expert for 2024. Each week, I'll be joined by industry experts, retailers and brands to dispel the myths, share knowledge and give you an insight into the retail industry. You can listen back to previous Retail Tea Break podcast episodes on your favourite podcast platform or, of course, on YouTube. And while you're there, please do subscribe to the podcast so that you get to listen to it first every week. So in the meantime, grab that cup of tea, sit back and listen in to season 6 of the Retail Tea Break podcast. So today I'm joined by a guest who believes in creating more value and less waste from every purchase through innovation and technology. This author and entrepreneur has over 18 years of experience launching innovative technologies across the globe. He's worked on behalf of large consulting companies such as PwC, IBM, and Kurt Salmon at some of the largest retailers in the world. His entrepreneurial experiences include successful ventures in Silicon Valley, Mexico City, Bangalore, Amsterdam, and New Delhi. Today's guest also has the ability to connect with multicultural teams, and he's trained on entrepreneurship, internationalization, pricing at several prestigious institutions and organizations, including Berkeley in California, Dutch Base Camp in Amsterdam, and the Professional Pricing Society. Kieran Ganger, CEO and founder of Rapid Pricer, welcome to the Retail Tea Break podcast.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for the nice introduction. Also, it's my pleasure to be here.
I'm thrilled that we're finally getting to have this conversation. You and I have been talking for a while now, and I'm fascinated not only with your background, but it's such a specific part of retail that actually, do you know what? I just think we take for granted. So I'm really looking forward to having this conversation today. But look, in the same way we always start the Retail Tea Break podcast, the first question then, in the time that it takes to boil a kettle, which I'm told is about 2 minutes, tell us a bit more about you and what brought you to retail.
Ah, that is an interesting question. So I grew up in the city of Bangalore. We had these summer breaks. I was in my seventh grade or eighth grade. Back then in India, it wasn't common for kids to go to work at that age. You're expected to just, have fun with the money your dad made. But my dad said, Kieran, I think you should go work somewhere. And he put me into this retail store, which was less than 100 square feet in size. And I literally had to pack rice and grains and rope it up and then sell it to people, right? It was such a good, enlightening experience for me at that stage. And it stayed on my resume. So later on, I did my engineering because in India, you are kind of like forced to be an engineer. I don't know what I was doing there. But I learned enough mathematics and technology, I guess. And I went on to the US to get an MBA. And one of the first opportunities I saw, I liked marketing. I liked strategy. I liked part of price promotion. All of that was marketing, of course. So then I had this strategy consulting opportunity. And even today, I love talking. I like making friends and having conversations. So I said, okay, what could go wrong? There is marketing, there is technology, and then they are seeing my experience in retail already as something on my resume. And I had read this very interesting book on pricing back then, and I mentioned to them, did you know that 2% change in price can make a 10% change in margin? I said that wow. To the VP of the consulting organization. And she was supposed to consult everybody else before she made me an offer. She said, no, I'm going to hire you right now. Let's get you started. So that's how I got into consulting for pricing for retail. So Demantec was the company I first started working with. I love that company. I love the small team we had. It was a startup. And we really did some good innovative work on how we could use science, mathematics, and analytics to help retailers set certain procedures and, path forward to make more, basically become more efficient in the market. The customers get better value, retailers get more profit, so there is more output in the economy as a whole. That's where my journey started. This was back in 2005.
Wow, that's such an interesting journey. And actually, as you know, and we've had this conversation, but listeners may not, I know India very well. A lot of the family are out there. So I can just imagine you in one of these small shops, which have tiny aisles that people are pushing past themselves to kind of get their rice and their grains and things. And I can imagine you working. But even at that stage, to bring me back to something you've just said, I think it's quite unusual nowadays to talk about pricing and the customer in the same sentence. But I presume even back in those days in Bangalore, where you were in that shop, was the customer on your kind of, was it in your vision? Did you know that the customer was really important to you even then?
Absolutely, and then it's a lot of factors go into keeping your customers. You know, the one thing you learn about working in a real business like that is pricing is one factor which will help people make a decision, but it's all about the relationships you build, and they come back because they like the shopkeeper more than they like anything else. So in India, even now, a lot of things are sold at MRP, which is the maximum retail price. So we didn't have much to do with price, which we could control. But how you build the relationship, you ask them, how's your dog? How's your daughter doing? Yeah, I haven't seen you in a week. Are you doing okay? That kind of a relationship building was something I learned. And it's in many businesses, I think it is more important than actually what you're delivering also.
Absolutely. And I think 100%, an awful lot of conversations for this season of the Retail Tea Break podcast have come back to basics like that. And I find it really interesting that pricing, which, as you said at the beginning, is either kind of seen as a marketing tool or a promotion tool, or finance and accounts get involved because your margin's not big enough and you're not being able to pull in all the other expenses that you're kind of coming up across. But actually, as you said there, keeping those relationships going, ensuring that the customer is at the forefront of every decision is just as important. So it's great to even think that pricing still brings you back to basics, that we're still talking about the customer and relationships. And it's just the foundation of every retail touch point, that even when it comes to pricing is still so important. I love that. And I think it's such an important message to get out there. But bringing us really up to date then, so going from traditional retail to the use of AI. So AI for retail, it's definitely been the biggest talking point in the last kind of 12 months for retail. You know, we're quite used to already hearing that AI can be used for retail content or even for customer reach. But you've developed a way to kind of bring that together with your pricing kind of knowledge and expertise. Tell us a little bit about Rapid Pricer, the business that you've built.
Yeah, absolutely. So one to go a little bit back on your point on pricing. I think it is super critical, super important we have the right price for a product. It's just that in my first experience, the price was set. But if you think about the value of a product, the value you associate as a consumer for a product is different at all points of time. A fresh mango versus a mango which was not ready to be eaten or is overripe has a very different value. Even a bottle of water has a different value. A beer has a different value, whether you're at a game or you're at your home or something else, right? So the mismatch between value and price leads to a lot of inefficiency. Either the customer is getting it at a very expensive price, or it is not getting sold, and there is a lot of wastage of products around the world. So what Rapid Pricer does to do, tries to do, is to match the price to the value of the product continuously, as much as possible. The value is always moving, right? The produce is getting lesser, like fashion is getting less relevant, say, for example, or there is a football game which came up just now, and then beer became more valuable. It started raining, umbrellas became more valuable, right? But the price is always static. One retailer who's figured this out very well is Amazon. On an average, every 10 minutes, the price is changing automatically. Not because you want to take advantage of customers. It could be prices going down to give better value where people need value. That's what Rapid Pricer is all about, is to match the value of the products to its price continuously. And AI as a tool, AI is simply like, you know, just a new ingredient in your kitchen, you can say. It's just a new way of looking thing, a new lens of processing information. So it was already, I was in Silicon Valley back then for about 15 years, and you see it everywhere. People using image recognition, people recognizing demographics, people automatically putting things into algorithms to see what happens to an output. So we built this little cool shelf. Back then we had this investor, the Refiners NextCube was the office we were sitting in back then. And in this shelf, we built cameras, we built weather sensors, we built inventory sensors. So if a different person walks in front of it, you will see a different price point, different level of discount. And this is all an experiment we did. And everybody thought it was really cool. There's a lot of applications we could put around this. So that's how I had already done like 14, 15 years of pricing back then, consulting and analytics and mathematics. Now we could put all of these new streams of data, and we had these electronic shelf labels, which is why we moved to Europe from San Francisco because it is more prominent there. These price decisions can be executed instantly, right? So a green banana has a different price than a yellow banana. If it is about to has just a day left, then it is automatically donated. So these are all use cases we saw from AI and the sensors and the output devices being put together, which is why we came up with Rapid Pricer. And I really love my Monday mornings, Melissa, as you can tell.
That sounds amazing. There's loads of things for me to unpick there. The one that definitely jumps to mind straight away, because I want to come back to how Rapid Pricer works a sec. But you've mentioned there about, the mangoes going too ripe or going off, and the same with the bananas. Look, we know food waste, especially kind of here in Europe, is shocking. Like, it's absolutely shocking. We are obviously trying to now kind of donate more of that food, catch it before it goes off. But I suppose if the price of the product fluctuates to the product itself nearing the point where the customer doesn't want to buy it anymore, if you've got a banana that's really, really ripe and starting to go slightly brown, very few customers will actually buy it in a supermarket. It leads me kind of into them waste and sustainability and the fact that grocery stores and a lot of retailers are trying to do more, to look more sustainable, to be more sustainable. It's one of their core values. It's fascinating then that Rapid Pricer can support this. How have you found the impact been for, I suppose, those fresh food grocery markets that you can now instantly change the price, that the store worker, the colleague, doesn't have to go and ticket that banana and reduce it, manually? You can do it all for them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Think about this, Melissa. 50% of all bananas grown are never eaten. They're just simply wasted somewhere in the supply chain. And retailers are a little bit efficient and getting more efficient in Europe and in other places, but there is still so much waste. And it could be like, okay, for all college students, you come in now and we will give you free bananas. Because or a 25% discount, because 100% of what is not sold is not only a loss of revenue, it is one of the leading causes of global warming today is food waste, right? So it's oh, and then they get many retailers in many countries get a lot of incentives from the government, from the EU, from United Nations to put money into technology which can reduce food waste. So there is so many wins in what we do, and it will take time for a lot of things to come together. Say, for example, we capture how fresh a banana is using CCTV cameras now. We could do a much better job using spectral image cameras, but they need to be put under a spectral image camera right now. There is new technology now. Let me show you this. I ordered these mangoes this morning, Melissa. I'm gonna make your mouth water
Oh, I'm
now.
very jealous. So anyone not
So.
watching on YouTube, Kieran has a box of mangoes, my favorite fruit that I always get when I'm at home in India. I'm very jealous because they look really good.
Look how delicious they look. Now, the best part about this, why I liked it this time even more, there is this little QR code in here, and you can check what you can scan this code and it will tell you exactly when it was produced, who is the farmer who produced it, or what temperature was it stored at. And I could use that information to see how many days it is going to last in every stage of the life cycle.
Sounds like it's saving time for the retailer. The retailer isn't manually going around and pricing every single thing. They're not having to check all the prices every single day, especially when it comes to fresh produce, because you're now kind of, I suppose, making that procedure faster for them and much more efficient. So surely the retailer's saving time, money, manpower by kind of utilizing technology like this.
Right on, right on. I like to use this example of, let's say, a complex commercial jet liner, right? It could be like a 777 or a Dreamliner, which is going from one country to another. How many people are operating it? Just two of them, maybe three. But it's such a complex piece of machinery. There is all kinds of engines, there is air temperature, there is like elevation, et cetera, et cetera. So why? Because they have put in a process where everything that can be automated is automated, and you're only reacting to what is unexpected. It could be weather, it could be like air traffic control telling you to go to a different airport, etc., right? But otherwise, why do we have 30 to 40 people running pricing in a retail organization? When if things can be automated, if you can put machines do the work for you, you can focus your time on strategy or on things like the human connection with your customers instead of having to go change these labels and checking what is the status of the fresh produce. Well, absolutely what you said. There's a lot of room in retail to go in that direction.
I think this really helps that as well. And it's nice to know that someone's thinking about the customer, the pricing, but also at the end of the day, it's helping that retailer be more efficient as well. And it's great to know that there's now a product, a piece of tech out there that's going to help us all in the future and of course make us ensure that we're more sustainable too. The other string to your bow at the moment, and I would be remiss of me not to kind of throw this in there. You wrote a book recently called The Expert Guide to Retail Pricing. Why do you think retailers then need to focus on pricing specifically as part of their overall strategy?
So simply put, if you don't get the pricing right, you will go out of business. The retailer will not survive without the right price in place. Because customers, when they shop for a product, they have many choices. People can check the prices against many different options. So without retail pricing being done, right now they have a safe approach saying many retailers who don't do scientific-based pricing have a safe approach. I'm going to always have X percent margin for my product. So they will continue to stay, in the same business. But for a customer, he doesn't care about what your margin is. He really wants a discount when it comes to, let's say, milk or egg. They don't want to pay more, and it is their bread also, for example, it is something they need as a staple to survive. But somebody who's buying a bottle of shampoo, they have the favorite, they don't mind paying a little bit more. So there is a lot of room for efficiency in adjusting, giving the discount where a customer wants a discount, and adjusting it in a place where they don't really want a discount. So it becomes more efficient. And like I said, a 2% change in price. Last year, we have a case study with 8.7% increase in margin, with less than 2% increase or decrease in prices. So it's going up and down. And you simply have to do it to survive in the market because the other retailers are doing it anyway. It's like saying, why do you need protein to survive? You cannot survive without having the right price in place in retail today, or in any business actually, but more so in retail because it's a commodity and it's very competitive to sell the same product across different formats. So I opened my own retail store, Melissa, because I had done so much mathematics and consulting. I thought, hey, let me just open my own retail store. And it is so hard to survive. You have to literally pick up pennies off the floor to make sure things work. And this is one of the best places to pick up your pennies to be successful, to sustain yourself, and to give customers a better value.
Do you think then that retailers don't focus enough on pricing? Because as you said earlier, I suppose a lot of brands will give you the RRP, they'll tell you a price that it kind of should be sold at. And a retailer's just too busy to be looking at the finer detail. Because obviously, if they're selling 50, 60,000 products, they're not going to look at every line every day. Is that just lazy then? Should we be focused more on our prices?
Yes, I mean, more and more retailers you see now. I started doing pricing back in 2005, almost 20 years now. So you'll see more and more retailers are coming away from not focusing on pricing, just hitting the play button, to focusing on what is the really right price for me. If you go to the US, if you go to Europe, none of the big retailers are doing this margin-based pricing today. But if you go to the small retailers, they still haven't caught on to that game yet, medium-sized retailers. So more and more retailers are doing it. The ones which are not doing it are probably not taking full advantage of the potential of pricing. But you are seeing this in the market, Melissa. People are doing using analytics to do their pricing, which is how it should be.
I'm glad to hear that. It's good to know because it doesn't feel as if some of them are working as hard. But you mentioned there those smaller retailers. So you've worked with a lot of them. I certainly work with a lot of them. If you were a smaller retailer just starting out, Where would you start regarding your pricing strategy? How would you start pulling that all together?
So one of the first things I would do is very simple fixes. Say, for example, if you're offering a 1 liter bottle of water, a 500 ml bottle of water, the 1 liter needs to be cheaper per unit, right? If half a liter is 5 euros, then the 1 liter, it's not that expensive, but the 1 liter should be less than 10 euros. You know what I mean? So there
Yeah.
needs better value. And you can't accidentally have prices which don't make sense to the customer, right? So for example, there could be a good, better, best brand. You need to maintain that ladder, a small, medium, large, like I just said, or line pricing. You'll have like different flavors of the same product should have the same price. And you have last digit endings. Sometimes you don't want to sell it at 102.35. It just doesn't make sense. So that's the first place to clean up. Is are you complying with the rules which play inside the customer's head? Are you taking care of it? Rules-based pricing, we call it. It could be simply done in Excel and then checking it on a periodic basis as a process. The second thing I would recommend is take a look at your highest volume products, right? In my case, I was selling a lot of these Maggi noodles in my store I had opened in Bangalore, or a packet of Lay's chips. And then check the price against your nearest competitor. You might be way off for all you know if you don't check those prices, right? So those are the places where customers are really noticing whether you're an economical brand or not. It's called competitive pricing. Ideally, you need a layer of elasticity analysis done on it to understand if people really remember the price or not. But at least with the volume, we could start being a little bit more in line with where the market is. That's where that would be the next step for a smaller retailer to follow.
Fantastic. I love those tips. They sound so simple, but I know out there right now there are definitely retailers that they just get too busy to look at these things, Kieran. They're running around doing the marketing, they're on their social media, they're doing everything else, but actually getting those basics right, which brings us right back to how we started this conversation, getting those basics right not only serves you and makes you money, but it serves the customer as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then, like you rightly mentioned earlier, Melissa, I would like to show my book, which could be a good place to start, The Expert Guide to Retail Pricing. And this is built for small, medium, and large retailers also as well. So you could get a lot of Excel templates and other things retailers can do to the reason why I wrote this book is not to make a lot of money, but because I had learned a lot in terms of telling retailers around the world on how to be more efficient. Now, what I do is more of real-time pricing and fresh produce, but I didn't want to lose all of the knowledge I had gained from other retailers on what could be best practices, right? So something like this, you don't even have to read this book, but use a simple Excel template online or like a blog you could read about what could be some of the basic steps. And clearly we've demonstrated more than 20x return on investment to all our clients who worked with us so far.
I
Let's
think
just.
it's such a good place to start. And again, there are still plenty of brands out there that are starting out. There is plenty of people trying to kind of run retail stores online, even if they don't have a bricks and mortar store. I think having these fundamentals, these basics down, just makes life a lot easier. It's a lot smoother, it's a lot more efficient to run the business that way. And I think it's something that we often forget. So yeah, thank you for that. And I'll obviously put a link to the book in the show notes as well there for you. But look, final question. And who knows what the answer to this will be, because you're such a busy man. What's coming up next for you this year?
So I briefly mentioned this, right? So the reason why I started this business and I do what I do mostly, Melissa, is I like bringing technology to solve real problems as an entrepreneur, more than becoming a bigger consultant. I want to do more problems with less work, basically. So we're looking at more sources of data, just like I mentioned, the blockchain, say, for example. We're looking to do these experiments where we can push the boundaries of what can be done through AI and automation. And that's our expertise. My expertise is not really growing it into a next multi-billion dollar business, but to come up with these plant new seeds of innovation and then groom them into little things which can be taken over by somebody else or somebody else will be more interested in it. My goal is to make this more efficient for food wastage reduction through more sources of data, more use of AI, and that'll make me happy.
Very exciting. And I think it's going to go from strength to strength. It's such a useful tool. And I think it's something that not only the retailers want, but also customers really need right now. So I'm delighted for you, Kieran. It's going to be an exciting next few years for you and the brand as well. So look, if you've enjoyed today's retail podcast episodes, please do like and share it. Remember, you can also listen back to past Retail Tea Break episodes on your favorite podcast platform or, of course, on YouTube. Connect with myself and Kieran on LinkedIn. And obviously, I'll pop the website and the book details into the show notes, as I said. And remember, you can find the show notes and the transcript for today's episode on theretailadvisor.ie. Oh, Kieran, thank you so much for your time today.
It's been my pleasure, Melissa. Thank you very much for having me.